There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. These are the observations concerning men and the acts they engage in and of how together life's picture is painted in creation. Everything is meaningless, the writer starts out saying. Wisdom is meaningless, pleasures are meaningless, toil is meaningless. And in today's cultural atmosphere, the thought of meeting the demands of life and the difficulties that come with those demands are also thought of as being meaningless. Meaningless usually denotes the meaninglessness of the futility of life. It is built on vanity, absurdity, frustrations, futilities, and nonsense. And all of these things are brought about because we do not seek, nor do we understand the plans that God has for us. And so we plot our own courses. We complain when the plans we made or the expectations we set do not come to fruition, and life becomes heavy and burdensome. The simplicity of life has been pushed aside, and the choices that we have in these days are overwhelming for many, and so they stand feet planted, mind set on the easiest path, and they head out the door, hoping that their luck will hold out. If only we would understand that we truly have little control in this life. We are given free will. The ability to make choices. And when the Lord presents us with those choices, He encourages us to make choices that will bring to us blessings rather than curses, life rather than death, and bonding rather than separation. Life is a gift from God. He does want us to enjoy it, but He also calls for us to use it for His glory. He desires for us to reach the place where we are satisfied, not complacent, which has a different meaning, but to be satisfied. In Ecclesiastes 1:8-9, it is written, "All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again, what has been done will be done again, and there is nothing new under the sun." Being satisfied is to be filled. It is having enough. And some examples of this are from Psalm 17:15, "And I in righteousness, I will see your face when I awake, and I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness." Psalm 63:5, "My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, with singing lips my mouth will praise you." Psalm 90:14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." And from Psalm 91:16, "With long life," the Lord says, "will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And finally in Psalm 103:5, "Who satisfies our desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." There's a progression here that starts with the seeking the face of the Lord, when acknowledging the work of His hand for the provisions in your life, finding joy to face what comes with each day through His strength and love, His promise of long life through His gift of salvation, and the renewing that comes to us when we shed the burdens of this world and give the rags and the discomforts that come with these to He who has overcome the world. Everyone in life who has given their lives over to the Lord will know a feeling of being satisfied. They will know a peace that cannot be found through anything else on this earth. It is the peace that Christ speaks of in John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This brings us back to meaningless and another meaning of the Hebrew word habel, and that is vanity. Vanity refers to what is futile and or temporary. The belief in false gods, in the worship of idols that brings with it curses and death to those who choose to follow them. In the world today, the clash between beliefs is becoming more of a visible line of division on so many levels that people are now more divided than any other time in history. There is no understanding that the enemy that we face is not our neighbor we disagree with, nor is it someone across the world. But the enemy of all is the devil and those powers and principalities of the air that have chosen to follow him. He leads the rebellion against God the Creator, and he seeks to remake the world in his image. He has to steal and cheat, to commit murder, to take what is not his and claim it as his own. And unfortunately, there are people who will follow him into hell to ride on the promises that he makes, never understanding that he can't deliver. Vanity is the human effort that is in vain, ineffectiveness, is false, is worthless. These are movements, motions, and expectations that we set on our own. Many will reflect back on their lives and note the wasted time or the effort that came to no fruition by their choices, and it is not the joys of life that they will reflect on, but the struggles that weaken them. Vanity refers to the futile nature of something, of the temporary length and breadth of existence and the meaning of life in one's own eyes. There's very little satisfaction on your own, or none at all, as the daily struggles take breathing and hope and carry them away. The scriptures remind us that we are here but for a fleeting moment on the grand timeline, and of the events, the joys and the struggles and the tragedies that we must look at. If we have faced them alone without the Lord in our life, then we can sit justly and sit and look and wonder what the purpose of our lives was. Now, all has been heard, and here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. When the writer comes to the end of the book, he has found that all is vanity without the Lord God in your life, for he is the source of all things, and from him comes life and purpose and meaning. And with him nothing is in vain, nor is it futile or worthless, because it is the things of God that one does in faith, in deed, and walking with the word that one finds their meaning in this life. It is, as the writer states, to fear God and to keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. Apart from God, everything is temporary and will not stand the test of time. There comes a day when the old heaven and the old earth, that is, of the first creation, it will pass away, and with it all that was tied to it. In Revelation 21, verse 1 and then 5 through 8, John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. And he who was seated on the throne," this is Jesus, "said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the idolaters, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Those who fall into hell will never get a taste of what it means to be satisfied, and forever will their wants torment them. These are the things of the world that people turn to in hopes of covering their pain or striking down the anger of never knowing the feeling that satisfaction brings. Life cannot be satisfied with the things of the world. They're meaningless. For with them the lingering stench of death follows. Life is in Christ and Christ alone." There's a favorite song of mine where some of the lyrics ask, "When it's all been said and done, and there's just one thing that matters, did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, and all my treasures will mean nothing, only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. May today be the day that you are awakened to see the vain things in your life and that you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be fooled in believing that there are many paths to heaven to the throne of God, because it is a lie meant to lead you further astray and deeper into rebellion. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." This from John 14:6. You see, Jesus suffered much to bring life to the dead, and that is what you are in your sin and in accepting salvation's gift. We are called to suffer much for the sake of Christ and to the furtherance of the gospel. Fear not the days that are to come, but find yourself satisfied in the Lord. That is life in a world that is perishing. Maranatha.